Welcome to Sydney's Pitt Street Uniting Church. There's a banner over the door saying, "We cry out for Gaza." It's disturbed a few people in the city, and tonight there are two security men on duty at the door. But inside, that banner is backed up by an event on 3rd of May called People for Peace and Justice. You will hear voices of Hindus, Christians, Muslims, Jewish people, and just plain humane people. You will hear thrilling songs in Farsi, Arabic, and sacred texts, which you may not understand, but which will lift you to another level.
We are living in quite extraordinary times. And we are all here, I think, because we all want to be change makers. We want to be serious change makers, not just talk about it, not just fantasize about it, and not make fairy tales about it. And I was absolutely for it when I saw the title that said, People for Peace and Justice, because peace cannot come without justice. We are desperate. We are absolutely desperate now. So let's create the type of peace that we want that's going to allow freedom and justice.
We start with one of the best welcomes to country I've ever heard, I think, with Uncle Brendan Keren. He's followed by the Artists for Peace, featuring an electrifying singer, Aisha Gokhnoreshinal, and musicians Tariq Hussain and Asarik Taraho.
So welcome to country. It's copped a bit of a kicking over the last few years, hasn't it? The welcome to country. We've copped a bit of a kicking over the last few years as well. I couldn't wrap my finger around the reason why. Why? Welcome to country. Why? And then it came to me, you either haven't been educated on what a welcome to country is, or you're just flat out racist. So I choose to educate on what a welcome to country is. And then by the time I'm finished, if you're still not comfortable and you still don't like it, it makes it easier for me to know what box to put you in. There's no hiding. I think since day one of colonisation, we've never had control over our own narrative. We've never had control. We've been told where to live, where not to live, what families we can be with, what's good for our health, what's not good for our health. We've never had control over our own narrative. And therefore, that has pigeonholed us as a race into the them basket. Them. We're not us, we're them. I got the email from work to come here this afternoon. I'm a big believer of charity needs to start at home. Charity needs to start at home. I was born not far from here in 1971, Crown Street Women's Hospital. You know, I was taken from my mother from that hospital, 1971. I never had the pleasure of meeting my mother. Never met her. Just over 10 years ago, I was lucky enough to find her grave. And when I found her grave, there were 10 names written on her, 9 names written on Mum's tombstone. They were all my siblings. I'm one of 10. All of us taken. My mother was taken, and my aunties and uncles were taken as well. But the story, and I, because we're them, I try to take colour out of and race away from the story. My mother was 5 years of age. 5-year-old girl. At home. playing with her siblings. And the Europeans turned up and took them from inside the house, away from my grandmother, 5 years of age. Grabbed, put in a car, and put in a jail for 2 weeks. This is a five-year-old girl. They were put on a train and they were transported to these places. I call them training camps. Cootamundra Girls Home, Kinchula Boys Home. These were training camps. My aunties and uncles were taught and trained how to be house servants and slaves. They were sent out to white families to work. Never got paid a cent for the work they did. I couldn't tell you how many times they tried to escape. They got caught and sent back. But this is our history. It's not them history. It's our history. I'm never up here pointing the finger. Never pointing the finger. What's happened's happened. Can't change it. I am after acknowledgement. How are we supposed to heal if it's not acknowledged? How are we supposed to heal? And we just keep getting kicked after kicked after kicked. The referendum, majority of Australians told us to shut up. Plain and simple, shut up. I grew up believing we should all be treated equally. Obviously not. Welcome to country. It's not Ernie Dingo did not invent the welcome to country. Why wouldn't we have a protocol about having respect for our neighbour's country? Why wouldn't we? We don't walk on each other's country unless we're welcomed on each other's country. Why wouldn't we have that respect and that protocol? You don't walk into your neighbour's house uninvited, unwelcomed, and help yourself to their food, have a sleep on their bed. Some of you might. I don't know what type of relationship you have with your neighbours. But an example of when we're welcomed traditionally on neighbours' country, and the only time we ever walked on each other's country unwelcomed is when we're up to no good. And there's evidence of that over at Narrabeen. There's an ancestor found over there, 20 to 30,000 years old. The Narrabeen man. He's a result of not being welcomed on the country. He wasn't from there. He was there unwelcomed. That was his final resting place over there. This is how important it was to be welcomed on the country. Now, when I'm welcomed onto my neighbour's country, these are things I need to know. What food can I eat on your country? Where are your sacred sites I'm allowed to visit and not allowed to visit? Where are your sacred waters I can drink from and not drink from? What are your totems? Because we don't eat our totems. And I always say this, the most important thing of all is, where is your toilet? This is what our welcome to country is. It's our traditional welcome to country. And in saying that, we're gathered here this evening on the lands of the grass tree people, Gadigal. Gadi means grass tree. Gal means people. I don't recommend eating the fish out of Sydney Harbour. I've lived here my whole life. I don't eat the fish out of there anymore. I've seen extra things attached to the fish. Some people can. Go right ahead. There are signs down there. If you go over to Gladesville, it says, due to the high levels of mercury, we recommend you only eat one fish every 6 months. If you head over to Manly, there's signs over there. Due to the high levels of mercury, we recommend you only eat two fish every 6 months. Has anyone stopped to tell the fish? Because they don't stay in the one place, do they? Swim around. But we all live here. We all got to look after country. There's a story I'm going to share with you. It's around the creation of Sydney Harbour. Now, our stories talk about the creation. As I mentioned earlier, we've been here since before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. We talk about creation. Our creation stories are no different than any creation story in any holy book. No different. Our God is called Biami. Biami had a son by the name of Daramulam. Daramulam came down. You know what? I can show you the footprints of when he walked from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. Daramulam. There's carvings at Karingai there where Daramulam, he gave the local clan the law, similar to the Ten Commandments. When he reascended back into the sky, he reascended at a place called Little Yango National Park. You can go there and see the place where he went back up. And the creation of Sydney Harbour. Sydney Harbour's a flooded estuary. We've got carvings in the water in Sydney Harbour. Burra, the long finned eel. Burra raised the waters to punish the local people for not following the law. And as a sign, he left Goat Island called Meemal. Meemal is the head of the eel, as a reminder. When Burra moved around on the top of the land, he created all the rivers and waterways. The water followed him in. When he finished at a place called Burramatta. Not Parramatta, Burramatta, place of many eels. Did you know that every year Burra swim down the rivers and waterways into Sydney Harbour? They go all the way to Vanuatu and they come back. This is a song line. We've known about it for thousands of years. I remember when they started filling in the creeks over at Centennial Park, Burra used to, on top of the land, following the creek to go all the way down to Mascot and La Perouse. From there, they then go over to Vanuatu. Songline. Prior to colonisation, these were ours and our responsibility to look after them. You all live here now. It should be everyone's responsibility to look after them and keep them alive. I've heard over the years, oh, if they lose their song lines, it only affect them, Aboriginal people. If we lose our song lines, we're losing the animal. And that affects everyone. That affects everyone. But when we, again with me and Charity needs to start at home, we're a third of the population. We're 60% represented in all the jails of the population. 60% are Aboriginal people. We're the highest rate of removal for our children, still. It was appalling and disgusting what happened at Bondi. But then I sat back and I saw the government move mountains to help that community. Since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody, we've had 500, over 500 Aboriginal people died in custody. So how are we supposed to feel? How are we supposed to feel? I'm just putting some food for thought out there. It's always an honour for me to welcome you to country on behalf of those Gadigal, one of 29 tribes that make up the Eora Nation. The boundaries for the Eora Nation start from the ocean surrounded by three of Australia's most beautiful rivers, the Hawkesbury, the Nepean and the Georges Rivers. In between those three mighty and beautiful rivers, there was 29 clans that made up the Eora Nation. No traditional owners left, none left. But the name of the clan we're gathered on here this evening is Gadigal. On behalf of those Gadigal ancestors, because I know their spirits are still in the lands and the waters. On behalf of Metropolitan Aboriginal Land Council as the cultural authority on these lands, under the Land Rights Act, it gives me great honour to welcome you here tonight. Welcome to the lands and waters of the Grass Tree people. Thank you for having me. It's always, again, always an honour. And it shows me that respect that you have for our culture. Our history, our culture. So thank you for having me. I'm going to come back. I'm just going to give my apologies. I've got to quickly run and pay this white fella, Wilson, for parking on my land. I did have a chance to say that to him, actually. I was at an event, Town Hall, Sydney Symphony Orchestra. I was literally about to walk out on stage. And one of the big bosses, and she must have been running because she was huffing and puffing, Uncle Brendan, don't do your Wilson joke. And I said, it's not a joke. Why not? Oh, because he's sitting in the audience tonight and we're trying to get some funding out of him. I said, well, I'll tell him to give you some of the money I've given him over the last few years. I said, you can't do that to me. I'm literally about to go out on stage. You've given me the golden unicorn. I've got content. I walked out on stage anyway. The battle began. The devil popped on this shoulder and the angel popped on this shoulder. And the devil was saying to me, go on, Brendan, you give it to him. You're never going to have this option again, never chance again. The angel was saying, it's not about you, Brendan. It's not about, think of the bigger picture. And I didn't say it. And I've been kicking myself ever since. There's a moral in that story. But thank you, everyone, for having me. And once again, welcome. Welcome to the lands and waters of the Gadigal.
I'm now inviting our next musical performer. Aisha Gokhnur-Shanal is an award-winning classical singer with a diverse repertoire from opera to Irish airs, who performs regularly at Sydney Opera House as a soloist with Australia's top symphony orchestras and ensembles, and she also performs overseas. A Brisbane-born Muslim with Turkish heritage, Aisha is deeply committed to peace, human rights, and to the protection and preservation of arts, culture, heritage and history, including Palestinian heritage and history, which she celebrates through her Artists for Peace concerts of Palestinian music and dance. Please welcome Aisha.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm joined by Tarık Hüseyin Onkanun here. And and Zakaria Patorejo on the guitar. We brought two offerings for you. We are living in quite extraordinary times. And we are all here, I think, because we all want to be change makers. We want to be serious change makers, not just talk about it, not just fantasize about it, and not make fairy tales about it. And I was absolutely for it when I saw the title that said, People for Peace and Justice, because peace cannot come without justice. And we are, I think, moving beyond the realities of two-state, where I think we have to start seriously thinking about another world, because we can't be talking about two states when Lebanon is now being ethnically cleansed. We can't talk about two states when Syria is now being ethnically cleansed, when Palestine is literally wiped off the map. There's no more two states. So let's really bring adult conversations about how we see the Middle East and how we can exert pressure on our government to make this happen. We are desperate. We are absolutely desperate now. So let's create the type of peace that we want that's going to allow freedom and justice. So this one is called Tilka Kadea. This is an issue. They save sea turtles, they kill human animals, but this is one issue and that's another. How to become a white angel, bear half a conscience, fight for freedom movements, annihilate liberation movements, distribute your compassion and tenderness over the killed according to nationality. But this is one issue, and that's another. How to become civilized, abiding by all terms and conditions, make all your words righteous, take trees into your arms, sugarcoat titles and names, while an army demolishes a nearby school, and when caught red-handed with blood, say everyone's a victim, because this is one issue, And that's another. How can I believe this world when it talks about humanity, seeing a mother lamenting her child who died in a raid, hungry, making a killer on par with their victim with all honesty and fairness? But this is an issue, and that's another. How can I sleep peacefully, plugging my ears, while a family is buried under the rubble of its home, forsaken, denied rescue, as if the earth in which they're buried is not of this earth? But this is one issue, and that's another. How to live in an open prison with bars of fire and ashes, raise from the rubble, grab your killer by the neck, gather your remains and fight, and show the deceiving world how the law of the jungle is forced. Where's the route to freedom? How to take on a tank barehanded? It doesn't matter if the world speaks out. Die free. Don't live in submission. Inspire generation after generation how to live and die for a cause. What world are we calling for? To denounce and condemn? Condemn all you want, for any condemnation of crimes in the slaughterhouse won't soften the powder's charge and won't bring back daylight. But this is one issue, and that's an honourable struggle.
Салоев похорил, яктул хайванат пошарил, бутылка кадел, бутылка кадел. Кейф это кун мелекен обьет, я годомир окну содомир, танцы фаракат эль хурия. وتنسف حركات الطهري وتوزع عطفك وحنانك المقتول حسب الجنسية وتلقى قديا وتلقى قديا كيف تكون إنسانا روك ومطابق للاشتراطات كل اللي كلامك لابس وق وبتهدم كل الشجرات بتكل ابواب الحارس جنبك جيش بيت مدارس وما بتغفش نفس لبس دم تقول الكل تحيا وتلقى خطيئة تلقى كدير كيف أصدق هذا العالم لما بيحكي عن الإنسان شايف أمي تبكي ضنا على شمات في الغار غير ويسوي المكتوب القاتل بشرف ونزل كيف نام قرير العين وأدى سدادة هدنين وليل مدفونة بيت ممنوحة يا خش يا غد بشمعنا كل الأرض مش طبع كل أرضية وتلقى قديا وتلقى قديا كيف يعيش السيد
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast. Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Two speeches I've chosen from many were introduced by Nandalini Sandmera. She was wearing a Parsi sari. It was black with an ornate golden border, reminding us of the Persian origins of the Parsis. The speakers are Dr. Munza Emad, describing the life of a child in a refugee camp, and Dr. Jamal Rifi, OAM. These will be followed by more exciting music from Professor Kim Cuneo and Heather Lee. Their song is based on the Persian classic Shahnameh.
I'm Nandini Sen Mehra. I represent Hindus for Human Rights Australia, a progressive and inclusive Hindu organization founded on the principles of Satya, which is truth, Nyaya, which is justice, and Shanti, which is peace. While we stand against the far right in our own communities, we also stand with other people on their journey of liberation, justice, and peace, including First Nations people in Australia, the Adivasi and caste-oppressed people in India, and of course the people of Palestine, of Iran, of Lebanon, and of all people from across the world who are facing the most brutal oppression and dehumanization. We also stand with those people in Israel who oppose the genocidal government and are standing firm in opposition to them and actively working to find pathways to peace. The path to peace and justice is fraught with many thorns, but it is every one of us here in this room and millions outside who are building a new majority of peace workers, and we will prevail. I want to take a moment also to acknowledge that in the best of circumstances, this is a difficult space for many to be in. And if anyone needs a bit of a time out, a breather, feel free to go outside, get some air, and come back when you feel ready. Lastly, I did want to say, and someone pointed this out to me and said I should share this, the sari that I'm wearing today has this border. It's called the Gara border. It's from the Parsis in India. And the Parsis in India came from Iran between the 7th and the 10th century. And why I wore this today is to also remind myself of our connections and the connections of humanity. And it's not only conflict and war that affect us all. Beauty and culture and art and music and you know, all the beautiful things that we all enjoy connect us as well. And peace is not just, you know, the cessation of hostilities and justice, but it's also time for us to have fun together and enjoy different things that come from different cultures. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Munzar Emad. He was born in Gaza. He earned his first degree from Bethlehem University. He's a PhD in law from Western Sydney University and a senior policy officer with the New South Wales government, working on justice and crime prevention, focusing on multicultural policy and engagement. A Linking Hearts ambassador, he's also shared his expertise in the sphere of domestic and family violence in Australia. And he's the New South Wales Premier's Bushfire Emergency. He received the New South Wales Premier's Bushfire Emergency Citation for disaster welfare efforts. When I had a little chat with him just before, he also spoke about non-violent resistance and talked about Mahatma Gandhi. And it was a very short conversation that I hope to continue. Please welcome Dr.
Thank you so much. And good to see so many familiar faces. It doesn't get any easier to be here again and call for peace and coexistence. At times, it feels naive. And yes, thanks, Omar, for emphasizing on that point, to actually advocate for just peace during such darkness. I even sometimes wonder if our standing together means ignoring the suffering of my Palestinian people. I, however, know for sure that it is harder to remain silent. It is even more painful to surrender to hate and fear. It would be everyone's loss if we accept dehumanization as the norm of our lives. I come to you today to be the voice of Palestinian children. For once, we need to see Palestinians from the lens of their children. My mom and dad were little children when they were forced out of their village in 1948 and have lived all their lives in a refugee camp in Gaza. I was one of the 15 kids that mom and dad brought to life in Gaza. Let me take you through a journey of what it's like for Palestinian children to live under occupation by sharing a snapshot of my childhood. I was under 14 years of age when the first intifada triggered in 1987. I lived through this life as a teenager under most of those days under curfew. I still remember the first curfew in the refugee camp. We call it the 17 days curfew. It was the longest curfew we lived under. I was only around 14, 15 years of age. As you can imagine, as a teenager living under curfew, what it would be like for you. So naturally, I still remember I broke that curfew so many times where I had to go outside the house. I still remember one day where basically I had to go to the nearby village to actually bring food to my family, trying to be the protector of my family and carrying a bag of vegetables and coming back to a refugee camp. I still remember one day that I actually left the door unlocked and slightly jarred during the curfew where the soldiers stormed inside the house. I was lucky not inside the house. And they actually beaten my dad for not locking the door. I still remember when the curfew was lifted, I went to my high school. As like normal days, we had some clashes with the Israeli soldiers. And then my first experience, when my best school friend got a rubber bullet and that's landed in his head and immediately lost his life. His name is Farid Limghari. Farid would be around my age now. He would be around over 50 years of age. You can imagine the potential and opportunities for Farid to be like me today, with 7 degrees and having children and living a life of full potential. And we have lost Farid, like so many. I still remember as well that one day I was caught being outside the curfew where I was severely beaten and put in military detention for 7 months. I also still remember one day was actually standing Hani, my brother, older brother, standing next to me during a demonstration, and we were arguing together that we should go back home. And he received a bullet inside, got into his tummy, and it was an explosive bullet. He was in intensive care for a few months, but thankfully he survived. When I walked out of detention, you can imagine as a teenager, I was confused, full of rage, not sure what to make of my world as a Palestinian child. Thankfully, Beit Lahem University welcomed me, and I got accepted to study psychology and sociology, full of scholarship based on a humanitarian ground. I actually still remember, weirdly now remember it, the first two elective subjects that I decided to actually study was two things. Music, to study piano, and the second subject was actually studying Hebrew. I've never thought it, and it never became clear to me why now, after almost 30 years, why I decided to choose those two subjects. Now became clear why I decided to choose those subjects. Music to try to heal, Hebrew to try to understand. So instead of trying to understand the consequences of forcing a whole society under military occupation, we sadly normalized hate and violence. For 79 years, we have failed to understand each other. We refuse to accept that we both have equal right to be free and live with dignity. The past 3 years have led to our biggest moral failure by refusing to recognize that we both belong to the same human race. And we share the same precious land. And we both have legitimate needs to be free, to feel safe and free. A just peace can only be achieved by understanding, not through force and dehumanization. The real courage is to refuse that one people is better than another. And the real courage is to stand up against hatred, even when we are grieving. No solution will come out of violence and vengeance. The bombing of Gaza has only deepened the cycle of hate. Looking at you today, however, makes me feel you are the faces of a solution that Palestinian and Israeli people need to resolve the root causes of their conflict, which is the lack of acceptance and understanding of each other. By standing together, you represent hope over fear and despair, equality over supremacy and extremism, solidarity over polarization and discrimination. Thank you for showing the way out of the current mess by reclaiming our moral standard and ending the occupation and coexist equally. Thank you.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Over five decades, we've been home to hundreds of shows, thousands of broadcasters and guests, and hundreds of thousands of listeners.
This February, we're aiming for 1,000 subscribers.
It's just $40 concession, $80 full.
Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Dr. Jamal Rifi, a self-proclaimed and fellow troublemaker, yay, with over 30 years in community medicine, Dr. Rifi has made an extraordinary impact. He was a national finalist for Australia's Local Hero. He holds an honorary doctorate from the University of Canberra and has been awarded the Order of Australia for his service to the Australian Lebanese community, multi-faith relations and medicine. During COVID, he set up testing and vaccination facilities in the front garden of his suburban practice, ensuring his community could access care easily and safely. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Jamal Rifi.
I'm really glad to be also with so many dreamers, hopers, idealists, eloquent, What brings us all together is actually probably the word hope. And not just hope. I reckon I'm glad that I'm here among so many doers. And that's what we are here for. Because we are doers. I have to say a thank you, a big thank you to the Pitt Street Uniting Church for hosting us here together. Recently, I saw a video on YouTube, television host John Stewart. He was doing an interview with Aziz Abu Sera and Muaz Inon. They are the authors of the book Future is Peace. Aziz is an Arabic word. I am an Australian of Lebanese background. Then I didn't know what Ma'oz mean in Hebrew, but I knew what Mu'az mean in Arabic. Ma'oz in Hebrew, I was told, mean stronghold. And when I looked at what Aziz mean in the Arabic dictionary, it also means strong. And what Mu'az meant in Arabic, also the protected one. So these two great people, I reckon they met by the sheer name of their first name well before when they were born. What brought them together is the tragedy that they both suffered. As we know, Aziz is a Palestinian that he grew up in Jerusalem under the occupation. His brother was arrested, tortured, and he died. And Aziz decided at that time that his brother died, so he needed to go through revenge. Then when he reached 18, he decided to learn Hebrew. And he learns Hebrew with Israelis and with a Jewish teacher. And at that time he realized, at 18, that revenge is not the way to go. Reconciliation is the way to go. Then years later, when the dreadful 7th of October happened, Ma'oz suffered a great tragedy. His family died. They were found in a burned house. Their bodies were there. Their family came in together. And of course they mourned. And they've decided that not to go for revenge. They go for reconciliation and for peace. Then it happened, Aziz picked up the phone, spoke with Mu'az at that time. And out of their trauma, out of their tragedy, out of their killing that took place, they found they connected and they taken healing is the best remedy for what they have gone through together. And only a couple of days ago, they managed that in that coalition of same as people in here, organization, to meet and to speak about peace in the Middle East. And thanks to all the people who met a couple of days ago, they gave the idea, they brought us all together, and thanks to the organizing committee for making it a reality. But their book explained many things. Future is Peace is a book worth reading.
Kim Cunio and Heather Lee. Professor Kim Cunio is a composer, performer, musical anthropologist, and social activist who currently heads the New Zealand School of Music. His many diverse projects have included working with the Gyoto monks of Tibet, setting some of the world's premier art collections to music, and working in Antarctica to set the first recorded gravitational wave to music for the British Antarctic Survey. Heather Lee is an award-winning singer and soloist who's performed in many languages at leading venues and with companies across Australia and internationally, including at the United Nations and the White House. Heather's regularly in demand as a recording artist and is often heard in movies, documentaries, and soundtracks across the world.
Salam alaikum, shalom alaikum, friends. While we're setting up the sound, I just want to thank on behalf of Heather and I, everyone for making this happen. You who hold your hearts pure to say that there has been enough suffering in this world. You who come to say that I will bear witness to the suffering of the world and keep the energy to make things better in the smallest and the largest of ways. Each of you is a miracle. Just for 1 second, you met my sister Stephanie just before lighting a candle. I'm a half Iraqi, half Indian Jew. And this positionality is a quite weird place to be right now, isn't it? So we could either move to the right and say it's too hard, or we could stand together. And that's what we will choose to all do. We're going to do two songs for you. One is in remembrance of all our sisters and brothers in Persia who are suffering so greatly, in the divine language of Farsi. It breaks my heart as a Jew that I will never get to go to Isfahan to see this place of some of the greatest spiritual beauty of the world. But at the same time, one of the wonderful projects Heather and I got to do many years ago was to set the largest Islamic art collection of the world to music. And part of that was finding the oldest version of the Shahnameh, the beautiful sacred book, a book that is really as great as the Gita. And the Shahnameh is this incredible thing. It's the allegories of taking on the external world, but really we're taking on the internal world in order to do it. It's like this notion of the inner jihad and the outer jihad. The inner jihad is so much more profound than the outer jihad. So this is Rustam and the Dragon, the first one we are doing. And the dragon is the ego. The dragon is all the sum total of the vices that we see and we must slay if we are to be one. And then we thought there's such sadness, and for such good reason there's such sadness, we wanted to do a piece that gives a little bit of hope from the past, going back to Al-Andalus, this incredible period of time in the second caliphate, where Jews were the people of the book, the Dimi, and they were received a right that they really didn't receive into the 20th century, apart from really places like Baghdad. It's easy to forget that Jews did much better under Islam for the whole history. And my family, which really dates back to the fall of the first temple in Iraq, is proof of that, that we were looked after in this culture, in the cultures of Islam. And so the second piece is this amazing thing that we had Arabic ring song going on, this incredible, beautiful, it was like a reimagining of the Baghdadi Caliphate that was partly influenced by new translations of the masterworks of the Greeks and Romans that were being done and sent back to Europe. The Europeans said thank you by waging war, of course. But then we have the Canticas de Santa Maria, this great collection. Alfonso X, this great military leader of the 13th century, cancelled the budget of the military and put it into the university system and said at the University of Salamanca, we need to look to music to bring our cultures together, these three monotheistic faiths. That gives us hope. And then we have the music of Judea Espanol, the first language of my grandfather, and it's such a beautiful language. And so we were going to do the second piece, Al Una Yo Nasi, at 1 I was born, at 2 I found life, at 3 I found health. It's a celebration piece because, as you said, my brother, but as all our speakers said in their different ways, we will outlast all suffering. We will outlast all tyranny because they all fall. And what is left is the goodness of our hearts. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Ba-da-dee! Omesh Belenchon Keshish. Palavod nit keshish. Zamil shubsel androsh no padi. As on Zuan Badami, Yekel Shemeshilion, as on Badami. Be home.
Thank you tonight to Orange Cow, who made this excellent recording, and to all those standing together with the people of the Middle East for peace and justice. My name is Vivian Langford for Radio 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.